Our lesson this morning is entitled, Knowing Who You Are in Christ. The text I'm using is Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. How fully Jesus Christ shared himself with us. And one of the truths I'm seeing more and more is that the Christian, the disciple, the follower of Christ, is to get his real identity from Jesus Christ. There are numerous reasons for this. But perhaps one of the easiest to remember is that he came down and identified with us to take us back into his realm. He came to our realm that we might be brought back to his realm. This involves a likeness, an identifying. He identified with us by coming to this earth, and he wants us to identify with him that we might return and live with him eternally. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, these verses illustrate a little bit of what I'm talking about. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. These verses present great hope and joy and blessedness to our lives. John said it this way in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. Can't you just hardly wait for that verse to come true? This verse gives us hope that there is a future for the child of God beyond this life of tears and pain and difficulties. But we can't have that without first, in this body, seek to know who we are in Christ, to find our identity in Jesus Christ. No identity crisis for the Christian. The Christian is to have no identity crisis. In fact, of all the people on the earth, no one has cause for a greater reason for security and stability and understanding what life is about than the Christian, the one who identifies with Christ. We want to know him and his power. We must know who we are, and I believe we will live up to it. When you know who you really are, then it challenges us and helps us to understand the purpose of life, and we can live up to that. We become like who we follow. Have you ever noticed that? People become like their person that they look up to, that they want to emulate. They want to idolize, and I hesitate to use the word idolize because idolatry, of course, in the eyes of God is sin. But you understand what I'm saying. And what's amazing about this also is the fact that God doesn't rob us of our identities as individuals. We are not clones. Each of us is unique and different. We each have our own persona, you could say. And yet he takes each of us and wants us to identify with his son Jesus and change us in the way we live, in the way we are, in our very nature, in our very character.
We want to look at identifying with Jesus in origin, identifying in character, and identifying in work. Identifying in origin, what do I mean by that? Jesus was begotten of God. It says in John 1:14, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. But we are begotten of God when we have been born again, when we have been saved. In James 1, verse 18, He brought us forth by the Word of truth. Brought us forth. He begat us by the Word of truth. We are changed people. We are adjusting in our priorities, in our thinking, and our identity because of the effect of Jesus and his word has upon our lives. And then in 1 Peter 1:23, Peter says this, we are born again, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. We are born again by the undying, incorruptible seed, the Word of God, that has its effect upon us. Everything else is, it dies, it corrupts, it decays, it falls apart. But the Word of God never, ever does. The Word of God has that effect upon us that it can change us internally. So we identify in origin. Number two, we identify in character. And I want to stress this a little bit more. I want to talk about this a little bit more because of the items that we can cover here. Jesus was the Son and the Heir. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, look at Hebrews 1, verse 2. Well, I'll read verse 1 as well. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Jesus was the Son, and he's appointed as heir. We see that in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. But the Bible tells us that we ourselves are heirs as well. We are children and heirs. In Romans chapter 8, 14 and 17, I want to read from Romans chapter 8, 14 and 17. Listen closely to what Paul has to say to the church at Rome. For all of you who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And then verse 17, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So Jesus is the heir, and he then makes us joint heirs. That is, we are sharing in this inheritance that the Father has given to the Son or will give to the Son, and we get to share and participate in that inheritance in Romans chapter 8, 14 through 17. So Jesus was a son and heir, and we are children and heirs. Jesus was God's image. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13. Hebrews 1, verse 3. He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purification for sins, he sat down by the right hand of the majesty on high. He is the radiance of God's glory and the express image. So we're talking about identifying with Jesus in character. He was the Son and heir. We are children and heirs. He was the image of God, Hebrews 1, verse 3. We are becoming God's image. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 17 and following. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, now listen, are being transformed into the same image. So God is transforming us who are in Christ, and we are sharing, we're identifying with Christ. He was the heir, and we get to become heirs. He was God's image, and we are becoming into God's image because of our relationship with him. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. That's Romans 8 and verse 29. Jesus was merciful. We are merciful. Remember, we're talking here about identifying with Jesus, taking on his identity, knowing who we are in Christ. So Jesus was merciful. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, you know, we're studying from Hebrews this morning, largely. Verse 17, therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So what do we know about Jesus? He was and is a merciful high priest. He serves in mercy toward us poor sinners, toward us folks who are struggling with sin and we need help with the sin in our life. Well, we're to be merciful. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Simple. I mean, that's one of the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So simple. Such a short statement, isn't it? My mercy toward others allows God, encourages God, gives Him a reason to be merciful to me. If I'm unmerciful to others, what will God be to me? Unmerciful. He will not extend mercy to me when I am unmerciful to others. So, Jesus was merciful, Hebrews 2:17. We are merciful, Matthew 5 and verse 7. Jesus was a servant. We are servants. How do we know Jesus was a servant? We see throughout His entire ministry a life of service to others. But one of the points that we see that stands out historically about Jesus was when He washed the disciples' feet. On the very night of His betrayal, think about this, He knew what was coming. Jesus knew very well that His hour had come. He would be betrayed. He would be tried. He would be nailed to a cross. And you know what Jesus was concerned about? Others before Himself. Here He was about to undergo suffering beyond our comprehension, giving of Himself, and instead of whining and complaining, what did He do? He is setting an example to show others what it is to serve. He's thinking of their need rather than His. Their feet are dirty. There it is at the Passover night, and He gets down, He girds Himself like a slave, He takes his clothes off, He girds Himself like a slave with just a simple garment around His waist, and He gets down on His knees, and with a basin of water, He washes the feet, which was a slave's job. He washes the feet of each disciple, including Judas. And here He is doing this, showing service, showing being a servant. You know, the highest calling that we could have is to be servants of others. I heard someone say one time that instead of wearing a necklace with a little cross on it, maybe we should wear a little necklace with a little bar on it and a towel over the little bar. A little towel instead of a cross. That would symbolize service for our lives. Jesus was a servant. He was thinking of the needs of His disciples just hours before the cruelty that He would undergo. What was He trying to teach them? He wants them to learn to be servants, to humble themselves before each other. Well, is it something that we are to do as well? Well, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. We are to serve others. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, Paul talks about the household of Stephanas, and it says they have devoted themselves for the ministry to the saints. The word devoted means they were addicted to. They were addicted to. You know, when we think of addiction, we think of it what? In terms of drugs, alcohol. And he says in 1 Corinthians 16, 15, that the household of Stephanas was addicted to the service of others. They couldn't get enough of it. All the household of Stephanas did was they found ways they could serve others. So they were following in the steps of Jesus. They were identifying with Jesus at that point. They were doing things the way Jesus would have done them. So we're identifying in character. Jesus was a servant. We are servants. And then another point is Jesus was worthy and we are worthy. If somebody says, well, I'm unworthy. Did you know the Bible indicates that there is a description of some Christians as being worthy? I'll share it with you here in a moment. Jesus was worthy. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 3. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. And this is all speaking of a comparison between Moses and Jesus, and Jesus is superior to Moses, and Jesus is the builder. He's not the house, he is the builder. He is the one who constructs this entire Christian system. Well, Jesus is worthy. But in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12, it says this, worthy is the Lamb that, well, speaking of Jesus again, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. But in Revelation 3 and verse 4, here's what Jesus says to the church at Sardis. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. That's Revelation 3 and verse 4. So what are we talking about here? We identify in origin. We identify in character with Jesus. Jesus was the Son and heir. We are children and heirs. Jesus was God's image. We're becoming God's image. Jesus was merciful. We are merciful. Jesus was a servant. We are servants. Jesus was worthy. Hebrews 3:3. We are worthy. Revelation 3 and verse 4. If we have not soiled our garments. And then number 3, we identify in work. We identify in work. Jesus was the fountain and the light. Zechariah 13 verse 1, he was a fountain for sin and uncleanness. He says in John 8 verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. But guess what? He tells his disciples in John 7, 37 to 39, that out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. In other words, there is a sense in which the believer has life-giving water flowing from their belly because of their relationship to Jesus and his life. So Jesus was a fountain and light. We are a fountain and light. That's work that we do. And Jesus is high priest and we are priests. This is work that we do. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 4, look at what Hebrews 4:4 says. For he has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And coming down to verse 14, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus is the high priest, and we are priests. In 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9, ye are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are priests. If we're believers in Jesus and followers of Jesus, every one of us is a priest serving God in his wonderful kingdom. All right. What have we looked at here? We've looked at the need for us to get our identity from Jesus. Remember, Jesus left heaven, comes to earth, identifies with us, becomes like us, in order to prepare us and change us to take us back to his realm. Do you really think that you're going to feel at home in a heaven if you're filled with hatred and lack of mercy? Because in heaven, people have been transformed for occupying that place. You know, we act like what we are told we are. Have you ever noticed? If I come up to Ron and says, you know, Ron, you really don't look good today. You look like you're kind of peaked and sick. And if enough people say that to you, you start to feel what?
Sick.
You start to feel sick. You know, Tom, you look awful tired. I just don't know. You're just kind of dragging, you know. And then you start to think, man, I am tired, see. We act like what we are told we are. Well, let me tell you what we are. In Christ, we are taking on the nature of Jesus Christ. You are looking like Jesus to me. perfectly? No, of course not. But when I look at you, it's like seeing the face of God. When I see you with mercy and love and the qualities of Jesus in you, and I look for you in each of you, I look to find the qualities of Jesus Christ. I want to see them there. And you know what? I do. Not perfectly, not flawlessly, but I see them there. And you're growing in those things. So, we want to identify with Jesus. Jesus does not regard it as identity theft when you say, I want your identity, Jesus. You know, he wants to share it with you. He wants you to identify with him. To be buried with him in baptism into death and raised to walk in newness of life, we are not the same people as before conversion. We begin identity at baptism. If you have not been baptized in water for the remission of your sins, then you haven't begun that first step. And that is an essential, important step. We are to look at things from the light of eternity. We no longer live as though all that matters is this life. This life is not all there is. This is just a temporary place. What really matters is eternity. To be hidden in Christ affects our whole being. Listen to this short little thing. We shall not wait till the glorious dawning breaks on the vision so fair. Now we may welcome the heavenly morn. Now we his image may bear. And because the world sometimes disliked Christ, it will dislike us. We are not above our Lord. If they did not like him, if we follow him, there are times then the world, the unbelieving world will not like us. But that's because we want to act and be like him, have his identity. There is within all people an urge to keep its own selfish image rather than Christ's identity. It's that self-identity that nailed him to a cross. We must now measure our life by him. What I do, what I say, I want to measure against him, not against other people. Don't tell me about self-expression or self-realization or self-actualization. Tell me about self-denial. Deny self. We are out of step with the world. What is the Christian? The Christian is the one who gets their identity with Christ. They've been baptized into him, and they walk a new life. If you are subject to the invitation, would you come now while we stand and sing?